1 John chapter 2, verse 18, the Bible says, "Little children, it is the last time. And as you have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But you have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let that therefore abide in you, which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father." John is writing to his believing brothers and sisters, not blood relatives, but relatives through the blood of Jesus Christ. He's writing as inspired by God with a single intent: to strengthen our faith. That's his single intent. To remind us that we have not stumbled onto the truth. And that's important, I think. It's important to think about it this way. We have not stumbled onto the truth. We have not discovered something long hidden. But we have been invited into a relationship with Christ. That's what he did when he died on the cross. He invited us in. When he came, it was an invitation. And he invited us to come willingly into that relationship with Christ. The invitation was not based on our merit or our position in life. We do not deserve the invitation. The invitation was based on the grace of God, the grace that recognized our frame, our limitations, our need, and his plan. The invitation came through the Son of God, Jesus Christ himself. And he came to live with us. And God heard the moaning and the groaning of mankind, and he sent Christ to us, just like he did in the days of Moses. You remember, we read the Old Testament account, that God told Moses, I've heard of the afflictions of my children, and I am come down, he said. Likewise, Christ heard of our needs, and he came down. He came down to save us. But knowing that God has saved us is not always enough to sustain us, to keep us going. And that's why John is writing this. We need to know the heart of God. And John had the exceptional opportunity to get to know Christ. He really did. He got to know the heart of Christ. He watched him move about with the people. He saw his compassion towards the people. He watched him share the Father's words and the Father's plan with the people. He saw him extend the hand of mercy and grace over and over again. He watched him practice forgiveness, even up to the very last breath in his body. John knew Jesus. He'd been with him. And he wants us to know Jesus in the same way. John spends a lot of time in this letter reminding us of the importance of knowing Christ. Last week we studied the importance of knowing him because there would be and will be people who will seek to deceive us by claiming to be the Christ. People who want us to believe that they have received a word from the Lord, a new revelation, when the Lord has already revealed his complete word to us. John says, be on the lookout. These people are opposed to Christ. They are the Antichrist. These are the last times, John said. We're living in the last time, the time of grace. God is doing something for us right now that he has never done before and he will never do again. Because we are living in the days of grace, the last times. We need to live deliberately. We don't need to just stumble through life. We can't afford to. We need to live deliberately. We need to live what we preach. We need to practice it every day. We need to rehearse it. And we need to get the word out that the Bible is indeed God's word. It is. Christ is God's Son, and there is but one way to be united with God, and that is through Christ. John told us of the danger of the Antichrist. Maybe the most important thing we need to remember is that the Antichrist, those who are the Antichrist, that they know enough to be dangerous. And I think that's what John was really telling us. They know just enough to be dangerous to us. Many of the Antichrists, John says, they went out from us. They came in. They came in expecting something other than what God promised. But they were once a part of us. And they went out. And I'd almost guarantee you that if we stopped and we did a little quick biographical check on those who are now walking a different way, who started a different faith, who are following something else, they have a background, they have a history of being involved with Christianity at some point, and they walked away because they came in looking for something else. Perhaps they were looking for an immediate change in the administration of things. The disciples, they were looking for Christ to set up his kingdom right away. They said, when? When are you going to set up your kingdom? When are you going to sit on the throne? When are you going to declare yourself to be the king of all this? He said, not now. It's not the time. But maybe some came in expecting that when they got saved, it was going to be a change in administration. And they came in with a motive and not with their heart set on God. Maybe they were looking for popularity. Maybe they were looking for prosperity. Perhaps they were looking for ease of living. And perhaps they were looking for yellow brick roads. Just all things were pleasant. That's what they were looking for. Whatever their expectations or their motives, many of these who oppose Christ and all things Christian, maybe they just walked away. John said they went out from us. But they were not of us. You know what that says? They only gave the appearance of being born again believers. But they weren't really. They didn't lose salvation, mind you. They never had it. That's what the Bible says. He says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, then they would no doubt have continued with us. That's the thing about salvation. I tell people, if you believed it, then God believes it. That means you don't have to lose it because you can't lose it. But the question is, do you have it? And if you never had it, you might be walking in the same old way, but it's because you never grabbed on to the truth that God has given to us. He says they would have continued with us, but they went out that they might be known, that it might be evident that they were not all of us, that they were never of us. John is writing to those who have hung in there. He's writing to us, to those who have hung in there, those who have accepted the word of God as the word of God and have selected to live for him. What makes us different is what we're going to talk about today. It is the anointing of the Holy One that keeps us. It is the anointing of the Holy One that keeps us. And I want to share 3 points with you today from these 4 verses about the anointing of the Holy One. It is the anointing of the Holy One that reveals the truth to us. It's the anointing of the Holy One that unveils the lies to us. And it's the anointing of the Holy One that refreshes the faith. Amen. It's the Holy One. It's Christ that keeps us. Let's look at how. First of all, he reveals the truth. So in 1 John chapter 2, verse 20, he says, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. You have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. We have an unction. That word unction is translated from the Greek word chrisma, which means an ointment. It means an ointment. Figuratively, it means that we have been, and I like the picture of this, we have been smeared with an ointment, with an oil. We have a special endowment. We have been consecrated by the Holy One, by God himself in this walk. If you know Christ as Savior, he says, we have a special anointing. Now, let me tell you what, there are so many people now that they want the Holy Spirit to fall fresh down on them and all these things. What they don't understand about the Word of God is God says when we get saved, he gives us an anointing. He gives us an unction. He gives us all that he has to give us. He consecrates us to himself through himself. How about that? He gives it all to us. He says, we have that anointing. And that anointing of the Holy One is what changes us. That is what makes the difference between those who remain in Christ and those who claim to have been in Christ and go the other way. Amen. They have not received the anointing of God. They have not allowed the Holy One of God to work on them and to change them and to give them a new life. But we have that anointing. The child of God is anointed for God, for God's purpose. For God's purpose. And we don't know what God's purpose is. And that's why it's best for us to come into this relationship with the Lord with not, we don't build up a whole bunch of unrealistic expectations. You know, don't come into to a relationship with the Lord saying, you know what, Lord, I expect that because I got saved, this is going to happen, B is going to happen, C is going to happen, and D is going to happen. And then we start waiting on God to start out with A and B and C and D. And when God doesn't do that, people turn away because they came in with the wrong expectation. But if we come in saying, Lord, I want you to anoint me with the Holy Spirit of God and I want to be used for your purpose. I want you to do whatever it is that you want to do with me. Amen. And you know what? And you say, God, you know, if you want me to sit in the pew and just absorb the word of God, then I'll do that until you point me in some other direction. Lord, if you want me to preach, then I'll do that. If you want me to teach, Lord, then I'll do that. If you want me to sing, Lord, then I'll do that. If you want me to be the person that passes out trash, Lord, I'll do that. Whatever it is that you place before me, I don't have to be the person in charge. I'll do whatever it is that you have placed before me. I just want your anointing. That's all I want more than anything else. Just your anointing. Just the joy of the Lord in my heart. Because the anointing is not just for bragging rights. That's not what it's all about. But it's so that we might know him and so that we might not be swayed from our faith. We have an unction, he says, and we know all things. Now, not literally all things. He's saying, not saying that because we now have been smeared with the ointment, with the anointing of God, that now we know all things. Because if we were to know all things simply because we come to know Christ, then that would be a line formed at every door because everybody would want to know all things. They say, oh, the Bible says all things I will know if I come to know Christ. But what God is talking about is that the anointing of the Holy One teaches us all things about the truth. About the truth, all things about God. It is the Holy One, that unction, that anointing that reveals the truth to us. So what does it mean to be anointed? What is that ceremony all about? Is it speaking in tongues? Is it about a miracle? What happens? Well, it is a miracle. It is. It's called salvation. That's the miracle. It's about being changed. It's about being born again. It's about coming out of the old and becoming a new creature. It's about an appetite change. It's about a new way of walking. It's about a new way of talking. It's about a new way of thinking, a new way of being. When we get Christ, when we get saved, when we get changed, we get anointed with the Holy Spirit of God. That's the ceremony. That's the whole thing. And you can get this unction. You can get this anointing all by yourself. You know, you can get this anointing at home in your bedroom. You can get this anointing driving down the road in your car. You can get this anointing in the break room at your job. You can get this anointing at school, at the lunchroom table. You can get this anointing just sitting down, listening to the TV, to the radio. He says, it's a Holy Spirit that speaks and changes you. He says, how do we get it? We get it through salvation. We get it through salvation. Now, let me show you how Proverbs puts it. Look at Proverbs 2. Proverbs 2, page 487 in your pew Bibles. Proverbs 2, beginning at verse number 1, I want to show you what the Word of God says about how we get this unction, this anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. Proverbs chapter number 2, page 487 in your pew Bibles, beginning at verse number 1. It says, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, Yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lifteth up thy voice for understanding. If thou seekest her silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures. Let me just stop there for a second. I want to go back to verse 1 again. He says, if you will just receive my words. And I want you to understand that God's plan always has been about salvation, about the changing of the hearts of mankind from wicked to righteousness. And he says here in Proverbs, if we will just receive his words. Okay, receive his words. Believe his words to be true, he says. And if you will hide the commandments with you, hide them in your heart. If you will believe them, if you will treasure the word of God, and then you will incline your ear to hear the words, the wisdom of God, and apply your heart, walk after what you now know, he says, apply your heart to understanding. Cry after knowledge. Speak about what you understand. Seek after his wisdom like silver, like we seek after the things that we need to sustain us. He says, search for her as for hid treasures, verse 4. In verse 5, he says, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord. If I could take you back to 1 John chapter 2, he says, but we have an unction from the Holy One. And guess what? And you know all things. Amen. You know all things. Where does it come from? It comes from God. He says, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He's a buckler to them that walketh uprightly. I mean, all of my points are hidden right here in this verse, in these verses. He says, he giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. That's the unveiling of the truth and the lies. There it is right there. He says, he is a buckler to them that walk upright. He's the one that refreshes us from day to day. He said, he keepeth the path of judgment and he preserveth the way of his saints. And then shalt thou understand righteousness and judgment and equity, yea, every good path. So, how do I get this anointing? Well, you receive the words of God. You hide them in your heart. You set your ears to hear the wisdom of God and apply your heart to the understanding of God. You remember who Paul was before the Lord got a hold of him? You remember who he was? He was Saul. God changed him. Now, let me tell you something. That's something about being changed. God changed his name. He changed his name. You know, and I think about Paul and that God wanted everybody to know that he was a brand new man. He was a man who followed after his own way as Saul. But as Paul, he was a man who followed after God. Look in Acts chapter 9. It's on page 809 in your Pew Bibles. But Paul was there when Stephen was killed. He would have congratulated the people on a job well done. He got even bolder after that, and he was catching men and women everywhere they went, throwing them into jail just for proclaiming to be followers of Christ. Amen. Or probably even worse than that, they didn't have to proclaim to him that they were followers. If he heard that they were followers of Christ, he was throwing them into jail. Then he met Jesus. He met Jesus on the road to Damascus, and God struck him blind, and God called upon the man Ananias to go and to lay his hands on Paul to restore his sight. But Ananias knew Paul's reputation. He knew Saul, and he was afraid of him. But God assured Ananias that Paul had been smeared with an ointment from the Holy One, that he had now had an unction that he never had before. And he had been changed. And God told Ananias that it was okay for him to go down and see Paul and that he had nothing to fear. Look, skip down to verse number 15. He says, now Ananias is talking to God, talking to him about his fear. And he says, but the answer, God says, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him great things. I want you to see what the unction does to a man. He says, I will show him great things. He must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, I want to show you something else about the unction of the Lord, that the anointing of the Lord and what it can do for you. The anointing of the Lord can take away fear. Now, you understand Ananias' situation. He was scared to death. He didn't want to go see this guy. And God told him it was okay. And by the time, the difference between the journey and his arriving there, Saul was converted from his enemy to his brother. When he laid his hand on him, he said, Brother Saul, here I stand. God sent me to you to take away your sight, to take away your blindness, to give you sight, he said. And verse number 18 says, And immediately there fell from his eyes, as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. That's the unction. That's the anointing. That's the changing. That's the revelation that Paul saw. He saw the message of Christ. He says, and when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples, which were at Damascus. And straightway, evidence that he now knew the truth, he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. And this was a man who said he was not. Now he preached him after one experience. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Proving that the anointing of the Holy One had changed his name and had changed his purpose. And it made him into a new man. Now, where did Paul get that knowledge? How did he now know? How did the same words that had denounced Christ to him now glorified him? He had to be reading the same manuscripts. Before they had denounced that Christ was the Messiah, now they glorified him. How did that happen? Well, it happened because he had been anointed and the truth had been revealed to him. And that's the power that the Holy One has in our lives. He reveals the truth to us. It is the Holy Spirit that changes us. It's the Holy Spirit that reveals the truth about who God is. And John says he knows the power of the Holy Spirit and how, through the Holy Spirit, the eyes of the spiritually blind are open. Now, you look again in 1 John chapter 2. Look in your bulletin there at verse number 21. In 20, he said, we have that unction from the Holy One, and we know all things spiritual, all things godly. He gives them to us. He says in verse 21, I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Now, the Holy One is a revealer of the truth. He shows us what we need to know. He reveals himself to us. Now, one last thing about this, and then we'll move on. Look in Psalm 111, page 473 in your Pew Bibles. We'll read a few verses there. In Psalm 111, verse number 1, where does this knowledge come from? It comes from the Holy Spirit. It comes from this anointing. And Paul says he's writing to us because we do know the truth. He's writing to believers. And he wants us to know that no lie is of the truth. Anything that contradicts the word of God is not true. It is a lie. And we need to be willing to call it just that. Psalm 111, verse 1, the Bible says, Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. The works of the Lord are great, sought out of all them that have pleasure therein. All those who know the truth. All those who have that anointing. He says, His work is honorable and glorious, and His righteousness endureth forever. He has made His wonderful works to be remembered. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. That's the power of the Holy One. He says, The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. He hath given meat unto them that fear Him. He will ever be mindful of His covenant. He hath showed His people the power of His works. You know all things, because God reveals all things, that He may give them the heritage of the heathen, The works of his hands are verity and judgment. All his commandments are sure. They stand fast forever and ever and are done in truth and uprightness. He sent redemption unto his people. He hath commanded his covenant forever. Holy and reverend is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen. That's where it starts. Amen. First, we must give ourselves to him. A good understanding. Have all they that do his commandments. You have an unction. You know all things. I write to you this truth because you know it. It says his praise endureth forever. God works not only to show us the truth, but he also unveils for us the lies. Let's move to that point. So the holy unction, the anointing of the Holy One, it reveals the truth, and then it unveils a lie. In 1 John chapter 2, again, verse 22, he says, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. The anointing, the unction of the Holy One makes it possible that we see not only the truth, but also the lies. And there are many lies, but there is one lie, the lie, that is the root problem. Deny that Jesus is the Son of God, and there is no truth in you. That's the lie. Now, there are many lies branch out from that. But that is the lie right there. Is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Who is a liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is the opponent of Christ, the Antichrist, that denies the Father and the Son. Now here, guys, John makes a statement that cannot be overlooked. It cannot be overlooked, and perhaps is oftentimes overlooked as some make excuses for the unbelief of others. But he says, deny the Son, and you deny the Father. You ready for this? It is indeed all or nothing. It's all or nothing. He says, you deny the Father. You deny the Son, you deny the Father. That's it. We cannot have God without Christ. And any group, any person, whether they're your family member, your husband, your wife, your child, whatever they are, they try to convince you that you can have God without Christ. They are, according to the Word of God, a liar. And there's no truth in them. And it is the Holy Spirit of God that should always caution you about the difference between a lie and the truth. It is the Holy Spirit of God that unveils the lies to us. It is all or nothing. It is all or nothing. The Holy One, the anointing of the Holy One, shows us through his word, honor both or honor not at all. Call on God and deny his Son. He's not listening. Except to hear that person repent. That's it. It is also the Holy One, the anointing of the Holy One, that teaches us all things that we need to know about himself. And through his word, he teaches us the difference between falsehood and truth. And one of the struggles in the early church was what to keep of the law and whether to accept grace at face value. Could grace possibly be all that there is? And what it really boiled down to, even in the early church, what it boiled down to was whether or not the people would believe the truth or a lie or a watered down truth to meet their needs. Either way, it is the Holy Spirit of God that reveals to us the truth. Now, I want to show you that in Acts chapter 15. Acts chapter 15, page 815. Acts chapter 15, they were in a struggle. Acts chapter 15, beginning at verse number 1. It shows that there was a struggle in the early church about what was true and what was not true. In verse number 1 of Acts 15, it says, and certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved. When therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and elders about this question. And being brought on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenix and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy unto all the brethren. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and the elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, because they were going back and forth about what was true and what was a lie, when there has been much disputing, the Bible says, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of God, word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bare them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts, how? By faith. Now therefore, and this is where he's bringing it down for them, he says, it is the word of God that has revealed God's plan to us. He says, now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? He says, we had the law, we could not live up to it, now God has given us grace. Why muddy the water? He says, why don't we let the Holy One of God do what the Holy One of God wants to do? He says, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. Because God has told us that. He has shown us how to recognize a lie from the truth. He says, we shall be saved even as they. It is the anointing of the Holy One that brings about the discernment to know the truth from the lie. He unveils it. Remember how John said it? He says, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is the Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. And whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Now, we read a little bit in Proverbs chapter 2. We got to go back there again. Go back there. Page 487, Proverbs 2. Proverbs 2 started out for us as an evidence of the truth revealing power of the Holy One. Of the truth revealing power of the Holy One. And it ends with the power of the Holy One to provide discernment and to show us the difference between truth and error. Proverbs 2, we read through verse 9. Let's pick up at verse number 10 this time. He says, when wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Now this is the working of that Holy One. He says, discretion shall preserve thee. God's going to show you how to deal with right and wrong. He's going to show you what is true and what is an error. He said, discretion shall preserve thee, and understanding shall keep thee. He says, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. The man who rejoices to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, and they froward in their paths. To deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger, which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life. Now that's what he'd deliver you from. But if you were to kind of read this a little bit differently, if we were just for a little while, we just black out everything from verse 12 all the way down to verse number 19 or through 19. And I just want to show you what this Holy Spirit of God will do for you. He said, discretion, verse 11, shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. And look at verse 20, says that thou mightest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. He says, the Holy Spirit of God is going to unveil the truth. It's going to reveal the truth. It's going to unveil the lie. It's going to make it possible, make you possible so that you might follow after God. He says, for the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. Now, I think too, one other thing God is doing very quickly, we got to move. But I believe that God is showing us a prophecy there of the things to come. He says in verse 21, the upright are going to dwell in the land. What land? A new heaven and a new earth. Those are the ones who are going to dwell here. He says, and the perfect shall remain in it, but the wicked God's going to cut them off, and the transgressors are going to be rooted out of it, because no corruption. There will be no corruption, not in God's new heaven and not in this new earth. The anointing of God, the unction of God, not only reveals the truth, but it unveils the lies when we allow Him to work in our hearts. Discretion, he says, is going to preserve us. But it also, finally, it also serves to refresh us, to revive us. It keeps us going. Let's look at that as the anointing of the Holy One refreshes the faith. Go back to 1 John chapter 2, verse 24. He says, let that therefore abide in you, which you have heard from the beginning. If that which you have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. Now, John said already about the Antichrist that they were once with the believers, but they went out because they really did not believe. Now, they couldn't be refreshed because the truth had not yet been revealed to them. That's one of the same reasons why we can't just pray for revival, because we don't want the lost people to be revived in what they're in. We don't want them to be any more equipped to be any more wicked. You know, we really want them to be transformed. Now, we want the church of God to become alive and to be refreshed in the Word of God, but we got to be real careful at what we ask for. He says, but the true believers can certainly be revived. We can be revived time and time again. And when we are spiritually weary, we need to be revived by what we know to be true of our God. He says, let that which you have heard from the beginning continually abide in you, is what he's saying. Don't change. Don't forget him. Don't water him down, but keep believing in what you believe to be true about God from his word. Make refusing to compromise, to change, or to go back, make that your focus. You know, come up with some things that are that you will never change. Become a spokesperson for Christ and stay the course. And let the Holy Spirit of God revive us, refresh us when we need to be reminded of what we are in Christ. Now I want to show you a couple things and I'll be done. Look in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, page 764 in your pew Bibles. In Luke chapter 12, God speaks to them about a refreshing. He speaks to them about being cautious to make sure that they don't let anybody sway them, not letting anyone compromise them. In Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse number 1, the Bible says this. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. And you know what leaven is? It's like a little bit that causes the bread to rise. He says, now he said, I want you to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, of a little bit that creeps in, and that can destroy the whole lump, the whole body. He said, be careful. He says, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which you have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. Now, what I think God is telling us here is be careful. Be careful. He says, we have the opportunity to act as his agents. He said, but be careful. Don't let any hypocrisy. Don't compromise. Don't let anything change what you know about God. Instead, he says, I want you to be on target. And here's the reason to be on target. He said, for there is nothing covered. He says, he wants us to speak the truth. He said, there's nothing covered that shall not be revealed, nothing hid that shall not be known. Therefore, he says, whatsoever you have spoken in darkness, it shall be heard in the light. And God is not talking about, I don't believe God here is talking about our being caught up for doing things secretly. I don't think that's what he's talking about here. I think what he's talking about here is the opportunity to be used greatly for him. He says, whatsoever you have spoken in the darkness, it's going to be heard in the light. His words are not going to return void, I think is what he's saying. He's saying, you know what? Say it. Tell people. Tell them what you know. He says, and that which you have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. He says, people are going to hear you. They will believe you. He says, and I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom you shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him. Fear the Lord. Fear the Lord, he says. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Let me tell you what he says, the Holy Spirit, the anointing of God. If you're his, he says, I'm not going to forget you. I'm not ever going to forget you, ever. He says, you're more valuable than a sparrow, and I never forget one of those. But I want you to fear me. I want you to reverence me. I want you to declare what you know of me everywhere you go. He said, don't be a hypocrite. And set your heart on not being a hypocrite. Because God knows the heart. He knows all things. Nothing covered. Nothing hidden. He says, what has been learned of God, what has been spoken under the cover of darkness, it shall be heard in the light. The word of God will not return void. He says, we're valuable. We're valuable to him. So we ought to value his word, and we ought to continue in it. Now look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, page 841. Paul, the same guy who God met on the road to Damascus, the same guy who a couple days before, read the great manuscripts and was convinced in his heart that Jesus was a fake, that he was the Antichrist. Just a few days later, he read the same words and saw the great plan of God that included Jesus, his son. He wrote here to the church at Corinth. He wrote to encourage them as they were following after God now. He wrote to tell them about the refreshing power of the Holy Spirit of God, that it would be God that would give them all that they needed to carry on in his work. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, he says, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you, save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul said, that's the only thing I knew. I just preached what I knew. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man. He says that it would not be, you would not just have a faith that was based on a Great Dent revival. Amen. He says that's not what it was about who was there and you know, it was a great service and people, oh my goodness, he said that's not what it was about. He said it was just a demonstration of the Spirit and power of God, so that your faith would not stand in the wisdom of man, but in the power of God. He says, howbeit, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. And here's the purpose, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. If I could borrow a little bit from John, he says, we have an unction from the Holy One, and we know what? All things. Because the Holy Spirit has taught them to him. He says, we know because the Holy Spirit teaches us. Verse 13, he says, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man, because we cannot be judged according to the world's standards. We can only be judged by the righteousness of God. He says, for who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But so that we might understand the refreshing of the Holy Spirit, he says, but we have the mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. Where do we get it? The Holy Spirit gave it to us. And when does he give it to us? When we need it. And when does he remind us of who he is? When we need it. He refreshes us time and time again. We have the mind of Christ, and we are to continue in him, and he will instruct us continually, revealing the truth. Not a new truth. Not a new truth. But the truth of his already declared word. He will also show us the error of all other doctrine that might be introduced to us. And it is the anointing of the Holy One that will refresh us every day. Christ was continually calling out to the people of his day to come to him, to hear the truth, and to let the truth change them. He performed miracles, and a lot of people saw them. But even in that, they did not turn away. They would not repent. They would not, because their hearts had not been anointed. They had not made themselves available to God, but he was ever providing the invitation. Now, let's close out in Matthew 11. I want to show you that. Page 712. He was showing them miracles, but those who didn't believe, the miracles did not work. But for those who came to him, he gave them a simple plea that they didn't have any reason to fear. But they just need to continue on in this faith, trusting in the holy anointing that God had done a great work in their lives. In Matthew 11, skip down to verse 25, just a few verses there. He says, at that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes, those who are teachable, those who have been changed. He says, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in their sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal. And he says simply, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Now let me tell you something. He says, whatever it is. He says, you come unto me and you're heavy burden. He says, and I will give you rest. Well, the first thing that's got to happen is salvation, repentance, forgiveness. And then he says, the heavy burdens, he says, they were all lifted at Calvary. He says, and I will give you rest. Now does that mean, you know, so that no one will come in with the wrong expectation? Does that mean heavy burdens, you know, difficult situations, do they magically disappear at salvation? No. He says, but I will give you rest, the rest of the Holy Spirit. He says, I will give you rest to know that I have big shoulders, that I can handle it. And if you will just give it all over to me, he says, come unto me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Learn the truth. For I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. He says, for my yoke is easy. My burden is light. We have an unction and anointing from the Holy One. And because we know him, he has taught us all things. And he will teach us all things. All things Christian. All things Christ-like. He'll reveal the truth to us. He'll unveil to us the difference between the truth and a lie. And he'll refresh us every day if we will just come to Jesus. Amen. Seek him first. Amen. Take his yoke upon us. And let him give us rest. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful for this anointing. Lord, I do pray that we will come to understand even more, even better, this grand anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. Lord, that you have covered us in your blood, that you have given us of yourself and of your power, that you have that through you, Father, we can know what is right and what is wrong. And through you, Lord, we can depend, or from you, we can depend that we will get everything that we need for every single day. Lord, I pray that we might come to understand your word better and better every day. I pray, Lord, that that might be our motivation. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to stand strong in your word, and to be willing to declare the word of God, scream it from the housetops if necessary, so that the word of God might be sought after. You promised us that your word will not return void, Lord, and I believe that to be true today. I pray that you would just help us to stay faithful, get more committed, steadfast, Lord, unmovable. I pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name, our Savior. Amen. Amen. Amen.